We brought it back.
We had to bring back the Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh. It is a day of rejoicing. It's also a day of great weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me throw out some Bible quotes at you. I love the weeping and gnashing of teeth. How you doing over there, Liberty Gimlet?
Oh, what a tiring couple of weeks, but I was so happy yesterday.
It was a good day.
It was a good day. I was waiting for him to be sworn in. They said it was done secretly. I shut off the TV and went to watch my Bulldogs play.
That's great. Yep. That's awesome. There's so much here. I'm gonna go all MSNBC on you right here. There's so much to unpack. There's so much to unpack about this story, and there is a lot to unpack.
Are you doing Matto? Is that what that?
Yeah, I'm doing Matto. I'll do Lawrence O'Donnell. There's a lot to unpack from this next story. Stop the hammering! Stop the hammering!
I'd say the Democrats kind of got hammered this week, and it's probably not going to stop.
It was too close. We're gonna dedicate a few minutes to Kavanaugh. Hopefully, I think our audience is well informed because they listen to this show. So you've probably already had these thoughts, and some of this will be familiar territory. But I guess we're looking for the Gimlet's insights. We're looking for my insights. Comedic and blah 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 as they may be. It was too close, you guys. This was too close.
Very.
I was when Senator Collins was up there giving her speech, it was like an emotional pendulum. It was. So I looked at his evidence. However, and when she, you'd get all happy, like, oh, here we go, and then she'd go, however, and you'd go, oh no. And then here's the thing, this is like, not to take anything away from what she did, but if you look at that speech, that's what a senator's supposed to do. That's this process is supposed to be. We looked at his judicial record. We looked at his history. We looked at the way he votes and how he reaches these conclusions. We asked him more questions than any other dude who's ever applied for this job. We looked at more documents. There was nothing there. And then she just walked everybody through the process. And then these allegations came up, and there's no way to back them up. And blah, 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 blah. So, as brave as it was, and it was brave, they're throwing the kitchen sink at that poor girl right now, and I want her to survive. I'm not a huge Collins and fan after healthcare. She got on my good side here, but it was too close. When it comes down to one person, and you look at that speech, and you're like, holy crap, it's logic, it's reason, it's the rule of law. That's what it's supposed to be. It's terrifying that it came down to Collins from Maine.
Oh, I know, but that whole speech was literally just an emotional roller coaster. I got asked to grab the braking on it, and I'm listening, and I'm typing, and I'm going.
Yeah. Okay. It was like getting really close to having a fantastic orgasm, and then your partner switches positions.
However,
you're like, that's it. That's all. Oh, okay. All right. Let's do this. Yep. That feels good. Say you'll. Okay. So she made it last. I bet she's great in the sack. If she doinks, like she gives speeches. So it's fantastic. It's fantastic. There's so much, and oddly enough, you and I, Gypsy, we're on parallel tracks here.
About
the levels to which the left will go, and you guys, this show. You could say it's been partisan for a long, 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 long time.
Who, us?
Yeah, right? But it's going to get, like, super partisan I always think, okay, finally, I've got my head wrapped around the problem. Finally, I got my head around the problem. I say that a lot. And then I also say the good thing about Donald Trump is now we are exposing all this stuff. And that was the big one from Kavanaugh. And my big takeaway from this, one of my big takeaways, is you now can no longer distinguish the press from the Democrats.
Oh my God, they just becloned themselves.
They are in total lockstep, and that is very disconcerting. And then here's where you and I are on the parallel tracks. As the rhetoric gets dialed up, as the rhetoric goes higher and higher, I did a video for the YouTube channel. Thanks. Hello. Welcome to all the new listeners and welcome to all the new subscribers. It's great. My thing was the left has become the party of bullies. If you look at the way they went at Kavanaugh, when they couldn't get him on his record. They couldn't get him on the way he performs as a judge. They had to use bully tactics. There they did straight up, do what I want. You literally had people screaming at senators, and that's the one that really, really turned it for me. Mm-hmm. When you're like, if you vote for him, that's like saying my thing didn't matter. If you vote for him, that's telling all women that they're the... Like, no, that's not even close.
And
everyone's dialing up the rhetoric. You know, Cory Booker, if you vote for this guy, you're complicit in evil. Why? How? Explain that statement. Explain
they can't.
That. Whoa. And you got McAuliffe. The former governor from Virginia who's in bed with the Clintons. If you vote for this guy, millions of people will die. You can't blame the average, everyday, ordinary citizen who doesn't follow politics like that. They just look at the headlines occasionally, and the rhetoric is, if you do this, millions will die. If you do this, you're complicit in evil. We have to stop him with everything we can, or it's the end of the world. You can't blame the ordinary citizens for being mad, but no one is calling the Democrats out on this enhancing of rhetoric. People have been shot. People have had ribs broken. People have been attacked in their backyard. People have had knives pulled on at them where they're trying to run for office and have political events. Ricin is being mailed around now, and the silence is deafening. From the left.
And political so that was saying they have to get – clearly Democrats have been too restrained. They've got to get more ruthless. We can no longer abide by Michelle Obama's, you know, rhetoric of when they go low, we go higher. Like, you can't do that anymore because we've got to get ruthless now. What have you been doing?
Now they have to get ruthless.
What have you been doing? Okay, can we take a brief second and let me do this?
Yes.
I fell in love with Lindsey Graham this week.
That is the other great side effect. That is the other great side effect.
Lindsey Graham! Lindsey!
Graminator,
Honey Badger, we need a nickname for him now.
Yes. We should. My thing is, though, I want him to kind of tap the brakes on it. Listen, Lindsey, you're wearing a new suit of armor, buddy. You're out there. You're calling balls and strikes. You're manning up. You found your testicles. But, like, pump the brakes a little bit, because with great power comes great responsibility. My thing is, like, slow down. Like, he's going to take it too far. Just take a deep breath. Right now, you are the grand high muchacho badass.
Did you see him with Chris Wallace this morning?
No, I did not.
He said he has never campaigned against a
colleague. Oh, I did see that.
That changes this year, and he's going on the road in these purple states and these red states, and he's going to make sure that the Democrats do not retain the Senate or retake the Senate.
I wish him all the luck in the world, and everyone, this is what – it's crazy, and you know, politics is fun, and politics is important, but man, as fired up – as the right is now, the enthusiasm gap has closed. We got to keep it going. I hate to be that guy. I hate to be that guy who's like, yes, we got Kavanaugh on there, and that's wonderful, but let's keep our eye on the prize. But, like, for real, let's keep our eye on the prize. They are coming. They're coming to impeach Trump. They're coming to impeach Kavanaugh if mm-hmm. they can. They ain't messing around. And you'll see, they're totally into by any means necessary. Yeah. But the ends justify the means. They are ready to throw everything out the window. And it's hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious, but it's ironic that these are the people, and this is what I was saying in my video, that are saying, like, we need to protect democracy. We need to protect our democracy. It's like, holy crap, yeah, we do. And you guys are the active participants.
You're the
active people trying to throw democracy under the bus.
Well, first of all, we're a republic. So, you know. But they don't understand how that works and why we have the Electoral College and why we have the Senate. So those are the two institutions now that need to go away because they're in the way. Like, we're not allowed to have the Electoral College anymore, and we're not allowed to have the Senate anymore because us rubes who don't live in New York City or San Francisco actually have a say in those systems.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been interesting to watch.
We're set up this way for a reason. You can be as crazy as you want to be. That doesn't mean you get to make my life crazy. Like,
yeah, they're totally ready to go. Bye-bye Electoral College. Bye-bye presumption of innocence. Bye-bye anything that gets in the way. Anything that gets in the way of me getting what I want.
Well, and here's the other thing. Do you remember, like, we were way ahead of the curve on this one, too, when we said they're not liberal, they're Bolsheviks?
Yeah.
You remember this, right?
Yeah.
They're still redefining words. So even today, Dianne Feinstein is tweeting that confirming Kavanaugh in the presence of credible allegations. No, they may have been emotional. They may have been sad to watch. They may have been a lot of things, but they weren't credible.
Here's the thing that I'm trying to work into my. Here's what I'm thing that I'm trying to work into my stand up. I honestly am. It's like, I want to be talking about women and how much power they have and, like, how this was almost the perfect coup by pushing forward this narrative that, like, you have to believe her. You have to believe her. That's like that's the end of all things. That's the end of all things. Traditionally, yep. When there's a crime, somebody goes, that guy robbed my candy store. Then the accused is allowed to say to the candy store owner, no, I didn't. You're lying. Okay. And then that's the beginning part. You did this. No, I didn't. You're a liar. You're a liar. That's how you start. That's the starting point. Mm-hmm. But this whole believe all women, she's credible. Then you've taken away the part, and even Kavanaugh did it. No. It's like, well, I think something happened to her. Like, fucking no. Whatever happened to being able to go after your accuser?
You know what happened to her?
And, like, Kellyanne Conway took a lot of heat for saying that we treated her with Fabergé egg, like a Fabergé egg. And they did.
I know.
How gentle and kind. Oh, it's – and, like, I was a sucker for it, too. They had – I can see why they did it and blah, 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 blah. However, like, this woman had so many holes in her story. So many just lies, blatant lies.
What it was for me was the little girl voice.
Oh,
grown women do not talk like that. And they don't sit there and laugh and giggle and smile while they're talking about being the victim of a violent sexual assault or a violent crime. And I say that as the victim of a violent crime. I've never been sexually assaulted. But you wouldn't see me behaving that way if I had to recount that. I didn't behave that way when I testified.
This is where it gets really, really dicey. Traditionally, when women use the little baby girl voice, that's the age that they were sexually assaulted in. I learned that from listening to Loveline with Dr. Drew. He would have these girls call in, and they'd go, "I just like it when my boyfriend throws me down." And he goes, "Okay, how old were you when you were sexually assaulted?"
I don't know why you say that.
Well, because of the baby voice, and it's like, it's straight. However, I think she knew that.
Yes, I know.
So it's disgusting, and it's horrible how the media just joined forces, and like for NBC News to do the gang rape girl story when they couldn't corroborate any of it, and they still had her on, and they still gave her that airtime. Wow, there is no distinction now between fact and fiction and left and mainstream media and the whole nine. They threw everything they could at this guy. So really, thank goodness for Collins and for sticking up for just plain logic. It was way too close for comfort. And then, oh, here's a fun to know fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know, you probably know this. You're very smart. I just found this out. In Roe versus Wade, Roe, the girl who was Roe in that.
Right.
She lied. She said she was a victim of gang rape.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And she admitted it, that she lied. She lied about the entire event. So it's, to me, there's like a beautiful symmetry there.
Irony, at least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean,
so go ahead.
I would also, okay, so we've praised Lindsey Graham. I would like to blow kisses for the individual that runs Senator Orrin Hatch's Twitter account, because that's just been lit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never taken much notice of Orrin Hatch, but that Twitter account, that's something. And then I think we all owe Michael Avenatti a huge thank you.
That guy's dangerous.
Totally sunk the boat. He came up with the most ludicrous accusations and made the whole thing look really, really bad. And who helped with that was Senator Feinstein, when in her opening comments at the hearing said Ms. Swetnick had lodged some credible allegations. Really? Really? That's credible?
It's and Chuck Grassley, give that old, let's blow some kisses that dude's way.
There you go. Just so everybody knows, heads up, that was complete carbuncle to begin with. Quaaludes don't dissolve in liquid. FYI.
Huh.
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 And let me tell you, if somebody poured straight grain alcohol into anything, you're going to know it's there. It tastes like fire water.
I loved how we could hear the ice in your glass clinking around as you said that. That was perfect.
I'm sorry.
We used to do that. I forget what we called it. But we would take
exactly what we called it, because we put it in purple Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you would have these parties. I know we did it in college, where you'd get a brand new trash can, and you'd put a liner in it, like a big hefty bag liner, and then you'd fill it with ice, and then you'd just throw every kind of booze imaginable in there, and every kind of fruit juice. It was like this wacky fruit punch. Where
it was a
punch
party.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hey, this just in. Just so you know, when I talk about how there's no distinction, this is fantastic. This is fantastic, and it goes. There's a writer for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, who tweeted out, "I'm just glad we ruined Brett Kavanaugh's life."
Okay.
Yeah, there you have it, folks. There you
just
have it.
Stop. That's a.
Oh, and well, as now, to my Roe versus Wade, if you want to Google that for yourself, just so you can back it up, her name is Norma McCorvey, and Norma is spelled normally, and then McCorvey is McCorvey. Norma McCorvey, and she was Roe of Roe versus Wade. She said she got pregnant after being gang raped, and she later confessed. Years later, it was all a lie. It was all a lie. So I find it hilarious that they're worried about him overturning Roe versus Wade, which I tell you what. It'd be so helpful. Well, no, I'm not even going to go there. So that should terrify everybody. Here's the other terrifying notion, and I think you wrote a piece about this, and this is what I was saying about parallel tracks. You wrote a piece about this for The Resurgent, and I was doing this on the Loftus Party YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. When you have these organizations, they're just dialing up the rhetoric. They're just people are legitimately getting hurt. People are legitimately afraid for their lives. People are getting shot. People on the right, and the left keeps dialing it up. Planned Parenthood. Did you see the Planned Parenthood action tweet?
Yep.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Senators, vote no on Kavanaugh, or else we're coming for you.
Yep.
That is in flippin' appropriate.
Planned Parenthood is often inappropriate, but that's just me.
Yeah, and
my favorite are their Mother's Day tweets. I literally want to throw my phone across the room, but
I just have a hard time, and this is what I'll jump to this one. We'll try to pivot away from Kavanaugh here into the media and what they do and what the problem is on Media Matters. I should call it Media Matters. It's Media Buzz with Howie Kurtz.
What chicks did he have on today?
Well, he had Molly Hemingway on.
Oh, I love some Molly.
She's the best.
She's the best.
And God bless that woman. She has the patience of Job. Because Howie Kurtz pretending not to know what the problem is. Here's the great thing. Once mm-hmm. again, ahead of the curve. I've had it with Jennifer Rubin. I've had it with her.
See the letter?
Well, hold on. Go back to the Loftus Party timeline on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like a week ago, I'm like, this is outrageous. Like, who are you, Jennifer Rubin? And I used her Twitter handle and everything. I want to increase her odds of seeing it. I'm like, what about you is conservative at all? That's
nothing.
Like false advertising.
This has been going on since the primaries, though. Like, literally, sometime in 2017, Charles Cook from National Review, like, went and quoted her during previous campaigns and quoted her previous positions on the ACA, on Jerusalem. I mean, just like a dozen different things. And then what she had said since Trump had been nominated and elected, it's like two totally different people. Totally.
It's madness. And for the Washington Post to go, well, we have lots of voices, and she's the she's not a conservative.
No.
She speaks.
She's insane.
So Howie Kurtz on Media Buzz Matters is talking to Molly Hemingway about this, and he's like, so why are there no, and he goes, but MSNBC has, and she interrupts Howie, and she's like, it's all never Trumpers. They say these people are conservative, but and I didn't know this. Do you know how high Trump's approval rating is within the rank and file Republicans?
His overall approval after the last couple weeks hit 51 on Rasmussen for the first time.
Well, that's overall.
That's what, among voters. Likely voters, he's at 51% now.
But if you just poll Republicans,
mm-hmm.
it's 90. 90%.
Oh, yeah, no, these people he is don't the understand. Most,
he is the most popular Republican president in modern history. In modern history. And you're telling me that MSNBC and the Washington Post, you can't find anybody who is not just like a never-Trumper. It's like, take your George Wills, take your Jennifer Rubens, take your Bill Kristols, and just shove them where the sun don't shine. The majority of Republicans are cool with everything. They are cool with all of it, or at least the majority of it. So to make believe, and then Howie Kurtz is like, why is that? Huh, I wonder why that is. It's almost Howie, like the media thinks the right is evil. And it was just madness. It was just total madness. And then, of course, so he's playing the game because he wants to keep his show on the air. And he wants to keep his, you know, friends happy in case he has to jump ship, because that's the way show business works. And then you see Molly Hemingway. She has to kind of play the same game too. And, like, I'm tired of the game. I have grown weary of the game. Of like, oh, I don't want to be to this. I don't want to be to that. After you saw the levels they would go to like legitimately throw our way of life under the bus, enough of this stuff. Enough of it. And in terms of Trump's accomplishments, I'm all in. Here's the recent tally. We got two Supreme Court justices. And it's not like these Supreme Court justices don't reach rulings where they go against party lines. It's like there's a guarantee that when a Republican president nominates a Republican a conservative constitutional judge, they're never in lockstep with the party. Exactly. And that's the horrifying thing about this. Trump got two Supreme Court justices and 26 circuit court justices. That just means people who are going to like be true to the Constitution and everything's equal.
And interpret the text of the law.
Yes.
That's all they're supposed to do. So
how is that evil? How is that not evil?
Barack Obama has the record in modern history for a president that had unanimous Supreme Court decisions decided against him. So that means Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Elena Kagan, you know, they all voted against him when he did dumb stuff or stuff that wasn't constitutional. That's their job.
Yes. And I'm glad when they do it. Mm-hmm. I don't like it when it was the healthcare thing. Somebody, was it Roberts, who interpreted? I think what they meant to say was this: no, dude, that's wrong. You have to go off the piece of paper in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a bad decision. So I'll always have a beef with that. However, my defense of this, it's always so funny, they treat Republicans as though we're evil, and if you vote for this guy, you're complicit in evil. But they're really fundamentally trying to change the way we do things, and they're trying to use mob rule and bully tactics. And I'm tired of walking down, like, you can't walk down the street with a Make America Great hat again on. Like Candace Owens, who's like pretty famous in political circles, she's recently on a plane, she's got a Make America Great hat on again, and some woman feels compelled, and like a total stranger, to come up to her and go, I just want you to know your hat makes me uncomfortable and I wish you'd take it off.
You have no right not to be uncomfortable. Sorry.
It's just woo! Horrible.
I mean, the whole thing with Kanye.
Yes, with Kanye, and then here's and I just want to make sure I get this in. That's why I'm. Do you know what happened to Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends?
Yeah,
the other day?
I saw that video this morning. Brian Kilmeade is one of the nicest people in the world.
And these two yahoos, and this is the duplicity. They go up to him and they go, "Hey, can we get a selfie with you?" He's nice enough to do it. Sure, let's do it. Then they follow him.
Mm-hmm.
They follow him all the way onto the subway, and they try to incite other people on the subway car to go
harass
after
him. Mm-hmm.
And people started. A couple people joined in. And if that doesn't... And oh my God, I want to be funny. I want to do comedy. I just want to do jokes. But that's got to be against the law. That's got to be actionable. Like, you can't just target someone like that.
Incitement is a crime. Absolutely. But I would like to thank Jason, whatever your name is, because you're just actually producing ads for Republican votes.
It's
keep posting those videos, son. I don't think this is going to go the way you think. I really don't. I do not believe at this point that I actually think we're going to pick up two in the Senate. That's my prediction.
Okay.
And I'm not sure they're going to get the House either.
Yeah, I really, really hope that people can stay motivated. And then here's another one.
People I know who maybe vote every 4 years are voting in the midterms. They are pissed.
I hope so. Hang on to it. Whatever gets you to motivate. And then here's, this is the other thing, and I bring it up occasionally, and I know I talk about it on stage. Oh my gosh, Gimlet, the other night I did this event down at the Melrose Improv, and mm-hmm. I just let it rip, and it was so satisfying. It was so satisfying. It was, and people were in shock. Michael Knowles was with me on this panel. Michael Knowles does a thing over the Daily Wire. Yep. I love those dudes. I love him. It was so fantastic. It felt so good. But, like, here's the other one. Where's ISIS? We're getting, like, legitimately, these people who are bitching about Donald Trump, like, okay, so we got two Supreme Court justices that are constitutionalists, and maybe another one. Ruth Bader Ginsburg ain't getting any younger. We got the circuit court justices.
Breyer's 81, I think.
And I tell you what, and where is ISIS? You don't hear about them anymore.
Nope.
Which should make everyone, and I want to scream it from the mountaintops. This was a group of thugs that Obama said, I don't know what to do. We're going to slowly kind of wear them out. We're going to slowly wear them down.
We're going to give them jobs.
Yeah.
Like every time, like, you see Marie Harf on Fox, remember she said we were going to defeat ISIS by giving them jobs.
Yes.
Yes.
And it is just, and you can just list Trump's accomplishments and all that stuff, but that's the other one that really breaks out. We used to wake up every morning thinking, oh, is this the day that I'm blown up in a mall? Is this the day where somebody runs me down? And it's just crazy how that went away. Well, and that's life or death stuff. That's
and
really...
Mike Pompeo's over in North Korea right now, and they're going to meet again.
Yes.
Like, Lindsey Graham's other, so he was being interviewed on the sidewalk, and they're like, do you think Trump's going to get a Nobel Peace Prize? He goes, if he denuclearizes the peninsula, he kind of deserves one. He said, and the Democrats will melt.
Well, here on the show, we like to get to the heart of the matter, and mm-hmm. I think something clicked with me, and this is probably way out ahead of the curve, but the problem is our education system.
Oh yeah.
And you can say this and that or the other thing. However, God bless these three students. I forget which university they're at, but they pointed out a huge flaw in the collegiate system. And when you get tenure as a professor, you need to publish papers and have papers published
right.
in prestigious journals. And I'm sure you've heard of this because you're smart. The Fake Papers Project.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. I have never seen Ben Shapiro giggle like that as he was reading the titles out.
It is. Oh, my God. He retweeted it. I had to struggle through it. I'm going to be honest. It's very dry. It's a very, very dry read.
Uh-huh.
But if you go to the Loftus Party timeline, I liked the tweet. There's a link to it. And I'm going to try to use like layman's terms here for our listeners. If you want to get tenure as a professor, you have to publish so many papers. Uh-huh. And if you can do 7 papers in 7 years, you're pretty much golden. And what these people are saying, what these three students are saying is that, like, science is gone. Like,
they, like,
no,
literally wrote garbage.
Yeah. Like, people aren't writing papers anymore about science and fact. They're writing papers about emotions. And
like,
it's grievances, personal grievances. There's this whole new – and this is what everybody's writing about. It's called grievance studies.
Yep.
And it gave us white privilege. That's
they
where this started.
Literally...
Just a bunch of gobbledygook. All the catchphrases are there. All the pseudoscience is there. However,
they literally copied one from Mein Kampf.
It's terrifying and hilarious at the same time. It's hilarious because it's ridiculous.
It's
terrifying though because it worked. They wrote 20 papers in 12 months,
mm-hmm.
and I think 8 of them got published. Like, these
7
are
or 8,
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, dog park rape culture.
Dog park. My favorite was gender-based astronomy, I think it was. astronomy or astrology.
Yes, and then
like
there
we
was
needed
also
to stop using patriarchal astronomy. What?
Yes. And the dildo
what does that
paper.
Even mean? The what?
That the dildo paper was another one.
Oh, I
that,
missed that one.
Oh, that straight white men should be encouraged.
Oh no, no,
to,
no, no! Oh yeah, I remember now.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Mm. Yeah, to stop trans hysteria and homo hysteria, and so. This is the university system. This is our collegiate system, and they reward this kind of gobbledygook. And it's not based. Someone finds offense with something in culture, then they write a paper that backs it up and talks about why it should be important and why the university should be worried about it too. And then suddenly, every once in a while, it seeps into our real culture, and it's these and this is great. These, and I think their careers are over. I think their careers are over. The people that wrote the fake papers project. Hopefully,
no,
we'll get
a movie. They
did
that on purpose. They did it for demonstrative purposes. They
I know,
it was
but
a
like,
joke.
Oh no, they're brilliant.
Oh yeah,
and for them to do this as a joke, but I think their careers are over. I don't know where they go after this.
Oh well, that's true.
Like who's going to say they're
awesome?
They did a
great service, and now yeah.
I mean, I hope they get a movie deal. I hope they get a movie deal. I hope they get a book deal. I hope they, because that needs to be celebrated, what they did, because it is madness. So now, it's been going on for years and years and years, and now it's seeped into our regular walking around culture where, white privilege is just, it's kind of a thing, and the patriarchy, and the blah, 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 and facts are out the window. So I encourage everyone to look into the Fake Papers Project. It's phenomenal ammo for the next party you go to when someone tells you that you're the crazy one because you lean to the right or you vote for the right. And let's.
I mean, here's my whole thing. I want government to do less so you can do more the way you want to do it. I don't want to control what you do. And that is honestly the most disturbing thing about this to me. It's that these, you know, coastal folks in these deep blue areas and high population centers really think they know better than us.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you guys live that way because you all live very close together. And when you all live very close together and piled on top of one another, you tend to think a little bit differently than us that have a lot of room.
This is the way it's summed up. So I did stand up. This other girl, very funny, Democrat, she did stand up, and this so there was three of us. You know, I was the guy, the lone guy on the right. These other people from the left, and then we had a sit down, and it was Michael Knowles from Daily Wire and myself were on the right, and then the stand ups, and then this other dude who was a Democratic strategist on the left. So we were outnumbered, but this is where, and I thought this was beautiful, and I want to pat myself on the back because I'm awesome. At the very end of the panel discussion, the hypothetical was like, what happens if the Democrats win and take back the House and the Senate? And the Democratic strategist dude, and I just don't remember his name. I apologize. He's like, well, the taxes will go up, and yes, they probably will go after Trump and this and that, and so. It's just like, your taxes will go up. There's going to be more regulations and all this stuff.
More investigations.
Then, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then they go, well, what happens if the right wins? And I said, without missing a beat, everyone's right, life gets better.
More
and that
jobs,
is the thing. If
bigger
the
economy.
Right, yes. If the right wins, there are more personal freedoms. If the right wins, there are less regulations, and your buddy and you have a better chance of starting your small business and getting it going. Everybody, when the right gets its way, and we keep our nose out of people's bedrooms, and we don't tell people they have to go to Bible study or they're bad citizens, everyone does better. But when the left wins, everybody's life gets worse. And that's just it for me. That's just all of it. And like, stop protecting me from me. Stop regulating me. Everyone has more freedoms. And
yep.
I
would
nuts.
Like to thank, I believe it was the Washington Post. I should probably check this, but, you're a white dude, so they've been beating up on you for a while since you masterminded the patriarchy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now white women are a huge problem. So there's all these, okay, white suburban women are who the Democrats need to generate their wave. No less than four different editorials this morning talked about how white suburban women were such a huge freaking problem.
Yeah. Like,
way to influence your swing voters. Way to go.
It's bully tactics. It's bully tactics. The media and the Democrats, they flood the zone. They flood the zone. Everyone thinks this way. If you think different, you're the problem. Everyone is on board with this. If you think you're different, you're the problem. Hey, white suburban women, everyone else is da-da-da-da. What's wrong with you? Why can't you wake up? And it's really terrifying.
So do you have, like, a particular person through this whole thing that literally just took whatever reputation they had built and flushed it down the toilet?
There's the only thing I think people could compare it to, and I've really given this a lot of thought, because you see that all the time on the pundit shows. They're right. Like, well, he showed Brett Kavanaugh, he showed the wrong temperament. He showed the wrong temperament. And then the person on the right says, well, if you, how would you react if you would? And you just can't put yourself in that situation. You just can't put yourself in that situation. So if you want to try to put yourself in Brett Kavanaugh's shoes, I would encourage you to go out and watch the movie Tucker with Jeff Bridges to see a movie about an honorable man who had a great invention and had a wonderful automobile, and when everyone ganged up on him and systematically came after him from all sides, they destroyed him. Now, he managed to build like 40 of these cars. 38 of them are still on the road.
Wow.
It's a phenomenal movie, and it's a great way you can see it. This is how it happens. This is how it can go wrong. The big auto companies, and they use their friends in the media. They all ganged up. They all went after him, and he was nothing but honorable. And he improved the safety of automobiles and made certain things that are just standard equipment now. They said he was crazy, and they took a good man, and they ruined him. They completely ruined him. And Kavanaugh, not like he's reinventing the Constitution or anything. I'm just saying it's a great illustration of, yeah, it can happen.
Well, just look what they're doing to Elon Musk ever since he called out the media.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's very, very scary. I just want to make sure we get this in here. We're coming up to the last, I think, 20 minutes of the show. We'll get back to guests next week. I got some wonderful guests lined up. This one was just too jam-packed. And this goes back to let's be ahead of the curve. And,
okay.
And you guys have information that most of America isn't really paying attention to. Don't forget to watch out for China. I was clicking the TV around a bit yesterday, and they're like – they're firing up the Russia machine again. Like Dateline NBC had a big thing about how gays are treated in Russia, and Russia is our enemy, and how bad it is to be gay. Like, so wait a minute. Are you talking about Russia? Are you talking about countries that are bad to gay people? Because I would really love to see the inside scoop on how gays are treated in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh no, in Russia, it's okay to spit on a gay person. Oh no! Listen, they're throwing them off the roofs in the Middle East.
Well, they just had a reporter disappear in Egypt, I think.
Oh, it's bad everywhere. The head of Interpol, I believe, was just. They're saying now he might have been kidnapped by the Chinese. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. The head of Interpol.
Like the head spy of the head spy place.
No, it's the European police, the guy that runs the whole shebang. They think he might have been kidnapped. Maybe he's just on a wacky holiday, but it leads me to China. China, keep your eye on the prize, you guys. China is the big threat. They just busted China again. What they do is, because everything is manufactured over there, and this is the other wonderful thing about Trump being bringing manufacturing jobs to the U.S., we need to make cell phones here. We need to make televisions and computers here so that we know what goes in them. They just busted China again. I believe it was a Samsung phone. They got a love affair with Samsung. They put it in the actual phone, and it's a chip. It's a piece of technology that turns the phone into a listening device. So without you being aware, they can listen. And it's worth a shot. You know, it's like, hey, we're making the phones
here. You never know who's going to buy the phone.
Exactly. And they know that. And the last time they did it with Samsung TVs, where there was a piece of technology in there. You turn off the television, and it looks like it's off, and no lights are on, yet someone's listening to you. So
creepy.
Oh, it's super creepy. It's spying technology. It's they get in business with American companies, and then they squash the deal, and they're stealing technology. And we have to keep going after them. I know a lot of people are upset that Russia bought ads on Facebook and meddled with our elections. Listen, Russia can wait. Russia can wait. China should be on your radar.
Well, I mean. As far as the elections and everything else, dudes, we're so polarized. People are going to vote the way they're going to vote. Just like in the Senate, the vote turned out exactly the way it would have if Christine Blasey Ford had never come forward, with the exception of maybe Murkowski. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's the only vote that might have been changed. So we went through all that horridness, right? For
yep.
the same outcome. You know, it's the same with our elections. Guys, I already know who I'm voting for, especially after the last 2 weeks, and it's straight R down the ticket. These people cannot have power. They can't. Democrats feel the same way, and you know, we're about 50-50 in the country. I guarantee you some ads on Facebook are not going to change my mind.
Oh my gosh. So with Facebook. Yeah.
Dude who went to the hearing?
No. I was just laughing at the little games that that we play with Facebook. Like the way I put titles, title the videos. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying the Democrats are the party of bullies, I wrote the left is the party of bullies. So I thought whatever AI reads the title, they'll let it slip through, and I was absolutely right. It was a fun video. It's getting a boatload of views and a boatload of shares, and Facebook's like, yeah, you can boost it. I'm like, all right.
Wait, no, you can't.
Exactly. So out of a $30 budget, because we're rolling in coin over here, we had spent like $2.10. So they had actually, the boost had kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get this email, upon further review.
That means somebody reported you, because we don't block people from our Facebook page, because that's just not who we are. So we get a lot of pretty rabid lefties over there who know a whole lot of things that aren't true.
fantastic.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's fantastic. So, hey, keep sharing the videos, you guys.
Yeah.
It's slow and steady wins the race. Keep sharing the videos. Go to iTunes. Leave a comment. All that stuff. It's a constant. Like, I have to remind you guys every week. I have to do it every week. It's a constant struggle against the algorithm. And keep going to theloftistparty.com. There's wonderful stuff going on there. And we got some time to do it here. I'm writing a whole lot more. And it's so much. You need to start. I'm calling you out publicly. You have time for your buddies over the Resurgent, but you don't have shame. Shame. Shame.
Oh, dear Lord.
Shame. Anyway, this is exciting news. Now, I'm from
having a hard time taking my wonk hat off.
Your wonk hat. You can. Listen, here's what's got me excited this week. Here's what's got me excited. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and there's a great band called 21 Pilots, and they're from Ohio. And their fifth album just came out. It's called Trench, and I like all kinds of music from all different, but ladies and gentlemen, listen to a song called Morph. There is a song called Morph, M-O-R-P-H, on the new 21 Pilots album, Trench. The album came out the other night. I had just finished editing the video that came out Friday. And I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. The album literally just came out. And so I'm listening to tracks, and man, first of all, they're like local heroes for me. And mm-hmm. you've heard their stuff. They had a huge hit song that was on the Suicide Squad's album. So, album release, that's big. I'm going to go down to, my son is a huge fan. We're going down to Amoeba Music. He gets to meet the band on Monday.
Oh, nice.
Extremely nice. Extremely nice.
Because Pam got him a, the wife got him an autograph, didn't he? Didn't she?
That's right. She met the drummer at mm-hmm. LAX, and he was very kind. He was a very sweet kid.
He's from
and
here's Ohio.
Yeah, but like I love it that they're taking chances. This mm-hmm. It's musically, it's different, but it's wonderful, and I celebrate it. Okay, here's where you and I are going to have a little 10-minute argument.
Yeah.
The new trailer for Aquaman came out, and it looks like...
This isn't an argument. Everybody knows why I'm going to see Aquaman.
I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling
it. I don't care about the story.
Listen, have you watched the new trailer? I wrote an article about it. I put the trailer on the website. Uh-huh. I don't even know if you've looked at it. But like, even from eye candy, from the eye candy point of view, I think you're going to be bummed out.
No, I don't think I am.
Just look at the trailer. And there's not a lot of, he looks like an idiot. He looks like an idiot. Now, I know what you're going to say. It doesn't matter if he's dumb as a box of rocks. But, I think the DC universe has a big problem on their hands.
I'm excited for a couple of things, right? Because you know what drops this week?
I do not.
Our good friend Nick Searcy's movie.
Gosnell.
Gosnell drops on the 12th, so I've got to find a theater to see that. Super excited for the Queen movie, the Freddie Mercury movie.
That looks great.
That looks freaking fantastic. And I'm going to go see Aquaman because I can.
Okay, well here's...
you know what I'm not going to do?
You're not going to...
I refuse to do.
What do you refuse?
I refuse to watch season 2 of The Iron Fist because I'd rather bang my head into a wall.
That's a swing and a miss, right? I gave up on that. When I could just tell by watching The Defenders, like, nope,
angsty face
not interested.
Girl. Angsty face girl. I can't stand her. Ooh. And every time I look at him, all I can think about is the dude that played the greatest American hero.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so I can't do that. I can't. But
bring that show back,
third,
by the way.
Third season of Daredevil's coming out. I am way fine with that.
Lisa wrote a phenomenal article about that mm-hmm. at theloftusparty.com.
Yes,
she was
did.
Ahead of the curve on that.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm stoked for Daredevil season 3. And here's some bad news for my fellow Tom Hardy fans and my fellow comic book fans. Looks like Venom is just a dud.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen a lot of good about that. So
I have amazing bummer. Intuition. I can tell from the trailers. I can tell from the trailers, and I am almost never wrong. And when Tom Hardy came out, and he's reporter Eddie Brock, and he's like, mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you some questions. I'm like, whoa, cut? What are we doing? Dude, you're a reporter, and that's the voice you're going to use? Like, I'm supposed to believe that you're a journalist? Like, I like to ask you a few. He sounded like Stallone. And it's just great. Like, the graphics, the CGI looks awesome. Mm-hmm. Venom looks awesome. But it looks like there's no story there to really tell. And it's getting like a 23 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
And that's, yup.
Now, that's not the Marvel franchise that's attached to the Avengers and Infinity War. That's the one that's attached to Deadpool.
Well, this is right? Sony and Marvel working hand in hand.
Right, like this Deadpool.
Right. Yeah. However, you could fold Deadpool into the universe if you needed to.
Oh,
they kept
could.
Him separate.
They should.
And that's what they were trying to do with Venom, too. They set it in San Francisco. They're trying to keep it separate, but they could fold it in if need be. But they ain't going to be folding that in. I feel bad for Tom Hardy. I really do. Tom Hardy got screwed over.
And the more Here's I'm the other looking one. At this Joker thing, he still just looks like a wet it to me. I can't get there.
Well, I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence about Joker. I really am.
Great actor, but I just look at him and it literally looks like they took Stephen King's character, threw him in a pool, and pulled him out.
I'm not a fan of the makeup. Nope. I'm not a fan of the makeup.
Nope.
And it's like the same reason I couldn't get into Gotham. Like, you need Batman in there. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. But, like, I just don't think Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker can carry a whole film. Like what, his slow descent into madness? What's he up against? Who's the protagonist? Who am I rooting for? What's the good
version? You're rooting for Jim Gordon.
I give zero craps about Jim Gordon. Like, Fox tried that with Gotham. Like, oh, look at the trials and travails of Jim Gordon. But I'm like, yeah, big woo, I don't care.
Who's the guy who has the gadgets and dresses up as a giant bat? I love it. I love the villains. I love the character development behind their backstories. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, my whole thing is, where's Batman? Where is Batman? Where is Batman?
And I'm sorry.
Young Bruce Wayne. I'm young Bruce Wayne, and I'm full of angst. And I look off to the side, and I squint my eyes, and I say, will you teach me how to box?
I'll tell you what, though.
Use my hands.
Alfred is kind of sexy.
Alfred's cool. There's a couple graphic novels about, and that's the Alfred that they pulled for this one, mm-hmm. where Alfred is like a former Special Forces guy, yep. and he's had his own adventures. That's more interesting to me. That is more interesting to me than Jim Gordon being all angsty. Oh no! They're gonna tell me I can't be a cop anymore. Okay, so you're excited for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Totally.
The Queen story, as am I. That mm-hmm. one looks great. Now let's talk about the flip side of that one, Rocket Man. Have you seen the trailers for Rocket Man?
No.
Oh, it's the Elton John biopic. And
really? Because he's still alive. Isn't that kind of weird to do?
Well, yes and no. There's definitely a story to tell there.
Oh, no, he's definitely, honestly, one of the best live shows I have ever seen.
Wow, when did you see Elton John?
I saw Elton John for my birthday, I think, 3 years ago.
Wow.
I think it was 3 years. No, it might have been four. Yeah, that
was
my birthday present.
It was a great show?
Oh, my God, it was phenomenal. There's, like, certain people you just have to see live. So I've seen Clapton. I've seen Billy Joel. I've seen Elton John, I've seen Rod Stewart, I've seen Aerosmith, I've seen a lot of those bands and individuals Eric Clapton was phenomenal, but no, Elton John, what a stage show. And I would have killed to seen him and Billy Joel together. That would have been amazing.
I talked about the Billy Joel thing here, yeah?
Oh, I don't know, did you?
I might have. I might be repeating myself. So, working on the show with Kevin James and...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a great concert. I'm not a Billy Joel guy. I'm not. And then you go to Madison Square Garden, and he's in his element, and he's just got so many hit songs, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You stayed on the Long Island, too. Once you've stayed there, you get Billy Joel.
You kind of do.
It's a regional thing.
You kind of do. Years ago, my buddy Ernie, who used to work for SNL, and now he's a location scout, and he works with a lot of... Who's the big photographer for Variety magazine? Leibowitz. Mm-hmm. He works a lot. He does a lot of location scouting for Annie Leibowitz. He needed a location for an American Express commercial. Jesus, this is like 2000? And I was living in New York for like the summer, and I was doing a bunch of stand-up, and we all went out, and he was looking for like, it wanted to be very stark. They needed an amusement park. So we went down the Jersey Shore,
right.
And went to all these boardwalks, and we went by the Stone Pony, and you just saw things, and it was bleak, and it wasn't like in its heyday anymore. And you're like, man, Springsteen makes a lot of sense now. the broken dreams and the shadows of, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
no, I will say this, for much of my young adulthood, whenever scenes from Italian Restaurant came on the jukebox, it was time to leave.
Oh, is that bottle of red?
Bottle of Red, white. Everybody yeah. was about to get melancholy, and we were gone. It yeah. was like a signal.
Billy Joel's got a great gig. I'm mm-hmm. so jealous. I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. He's got a great gig.
Yep.
Once a month, he goes to Madison Square Garden, flips on the lights, plugs in his piano, has his band show up. They sell some tickets, and he's got it worked out where I think he makes $1 million.
Wow.
And he just – everybody has a great time. Everybody
oh, yeah,
has a great time.
Because you know all the words.
And he lets the audience sing along.
Yep.
Occasionally, he'll let the audience pick the next tune. Mm-hmm. It is a win, win, win. And I'm glad he doesn't shy away from Piano Man and all that stuff. So
I'm just glad he doesn't play politics.
Oh, no. Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't. He gets it. He gets it.
Here's the thing,
though. Rocket Man, they're not using Elton John's voice. I will say that. It just sounds horrible.
Oh,
it just
really?
Takes me out of the movie. Yeah, if you watch the trailer for Rocket Man.
All right, I gotta go watch it. But I
okay,
will say
so
this
say?
About Hollywood and politics before we close. Anything I want to happen, I want Alyssa Milano opposing me.
Wasn't that a perfect moment? I'm so glad you brought that up.
Why?
That girl was on Meet the Press today.
I know.
Why?
Like, you couldn't get a politician or a lawyer?
For real. And like everybody says, well, the media is the Democrats, and the Democrats are the media, and then the media is like, well, the learned suits in on the left are like, well, that's not true. Today's guest is Alyssa Milano.
No.
Like,
did
for
you
real,
hear
like,
what she said?
No, I didn't watch.
We're just beginning to define due process. What?
Wow.
Like, get her off the TV. Like, the other woman was smart, and she had a point, and she was articulate. And then Alyssa starts talking. I'm like, please come back to Georgia. Please come back to Georgia, and please campaign for Stacey Adams.
Oh my gosh, we're just beginning to define due process. That's
yes.
one for the ages. Okay, before we go, as we say goodbye, and I encourage you all to go to theloftusparty.com and go to the shop and get your official Loftus Party gear. The new t-shirts are sweet.
I like the tiger mug.
There's all kinds of stuff. We got to add underwear in there. We're going to add some more fun stuff as we go. I got Politicon coming up. I'll give you more updates on Politicon. That thing just gets bigger and bigger. I've been there every year. The Loftus Party has represented every year. I got a lot of panels that I'm going to be doing. So you're ahead of the curve already by being Loftus Party fans. And here's another one, just to think about this until we talk again next week. Our First Lady just got back. I think she was in Egypt yesterday. She might have got back today. A phenomenal. Talk about a woman who does. She gets zero credit.
Wasn't it Africa?
Zero credit. She was in Ghana for a while.
Yeah,
then,
she got. They got all upset about her hat. Super important stuff there, guys. Super important.
I tell you what. For as many people who fawned over Michelle Obama, and she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. Listen, our First Lady's doing a ton of great work.
Mm-hmm.
And is a legit supermodel. Go on the internet and I don't want to demean what she's doing by talking about how great looking she is, but she's wearing this super cool outfit standing in front of the pyramids, and you're like, are you kidding? That's our First Lady. She's a freaking supermodel. She speaks five languages. She's helping out underprivileged kids. She's one for the ages, and that's a shame that she's not getting
Melania.
The credit. Oh, I'm a huge
I have
fan.
Since she pulled
fan.
The claws out when Rosie O'Donnell went after Barron.
Yeah, she's
Don't
a good one.
Mess
all right,
Mama
you guys,
Bear.
There's new stuff at the Loftus Party every day. There are videos now twice a week. We do a video on Tuesday, and then we do our second video on Friday. Soon, there's going to be stuff that you're only going to be able to see at theloftusparty.com. I hate to be that guy, but we need them clicks, bitches. All right. Have a great week. I'll see you guys next time.